Every morning, we start a brand new day every day. And God's mercies. If you'll stand and read you a couple of verses of Scripture, we'll get right underway. And again, happy Grandparents' Day and great grandparents. Can't be a great grandparent unless you're a grandparent first, right? Amen. I'm both, so. And I didn't even put my name in there because I knew if I won that flower, I'd have to water it, so. Just kidding. Lamentations 3. Verse 22 and 23 verses. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Can we all say that together? Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray now. Father, we love you and we thank you and praise you. We're asking God that you move in a glorious and a holy and a precious way. Bless each one that's here this morning, God. Help us to open up our ears of understanding that we might understand better what your word says. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, a look at a double assurance that God will never stop loving you. The four reasons we need new mercies every morning, and we're going to be talking about that, and the foundation of God's faithfulness. I'll give you a little humor here to start out with, see if you're awake. Did you hear about the 85-year-old woman who went on a blind date with a 92-year-old man? There's hope for you older people yet. She came home very frustrated. Her daughter said, "Mom, what's wrong?" She said, "I had to slap him 3 times. Her daughter was shocked. She said, "Mom, you mean he tried to get fresh?" The mom said, "No, nothing like that. I thought he was dead." I wonder sometimes if the Lord don't need to kind of give us a slap, because we look like sometimes that we're dead, spiritually speaking, of course. We need to understand that. And the verses of Scripture tells us plain, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It's only by his mercy, folks, that we're still here. You see, God's loyal love can't have run out. His mercy, his merciful love can't have dried up. You're created new every morning. How great is thy faithfulness? Now, I know we're the same creature and all that, but what I'm saying is this. When you go to bed of a night, you're sound asleep, hopefully. You don't remember very much through the night unless you have a nightmare, and then that's something you don't want to have. But every morning you wake up, you have a brand new start, a brand new day, and God is blessing and helping in a holy and a glorious way. He's wonderful, is he not? So how great is his faithfulness? Every morning we start out with a brand new day. We've never seen that day before. We've never lived in that day before. We've never been touched by God in that day before. But with that, we can understand how good God is, and he is wonderful. So his faithfulness is always there. So we're going to look at when, what, and why, and then the foundation of God's wonderful love for us. Faith in the midst of trouble. The usual praise of Jeremiah, but I want you to notice this. The fact that this statement appears in the book of Lamentation is one of the most remarkable things in the Bible. Jeremiah had just witnessed the wrath of God poured out upon his nation. Their armies had been defeated, their defense overrun, their riches stolen by the enemy, and their cities was looted and burned. Their men killed, their wives and children taken captive and enslaved. Most of those who remained alive had suffered massive resettlement from forces, marches for 1,000 miles to a foreign country, where they were settled among people who hated them. Wouldn't that be terrible? But here, Jeremiah, still in the midst of weeping over the national calamity, begins to praise God that his mercies are new every morning. How remarkable. Are you experiencing rough times? Are you having rough times? Let's just be honest with ourselves this morning. Have you ever felt like that you wouldn't make it till tomorrow? Or that life has been so bad that you can't hardly take it any longer? There are too many bills to pay and not enough money. You may have sickness and disease that you can't get healed from. And life is just too weary to go on another day. Anybody ever felt that way? God, I can't take no more. I can't handle it. Did you ever go to God and just tell him that? God, I can't handle it anymore. I have. I wanted to be up front. I have. God's word senses a note of encouragement, though, to look up and find hope. No matter how bad it may seem, God is still on the throne, and we can't find comfort and hope. Or we can find comfort and hope in that fact. He's still on the throne. And then there's a double assurance of his love. Jeremiah used two words from God's filling for you. He says, based on two different premises, as proof that God will never stop loving you. And when we think about that, his mercy, and then secondly is his compassion. You see, God has sworn his love. The Hebrew word talks about this, and it means a love of affection that is steadfast based on the loyalty or devotion, especially in the relationship of the covenant. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7 and verse 9, God coupled these words with rebirth, which means covenant, and therefore, how that the Lord your God, he is God to the faithful who keeps covenant and mercies for thousands of generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Isn't it amazing how good God is? You know, people will let you down. People will let you down. People will ignore you and, you know, and different things. But, hey, God will never let you down. He's always right there. And I want to praise him and thank him because of what a wonderful and a blessed God we have. And then also in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8 talks about, because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. And as part of God's covenant in Christ, God has sworn his love for us. We've been sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. That's the thing about it, folks. Not only did he promise us, he sealed that promise with the blood of Jesus that's shed on the cross of Calvary. He sealed that promise that he would always be faithful and always love us, and he's covered a multitude of sins by all that blood. We had no hope. We were continuing on. Every single year they'd have to continue killing little animals and sprinkling their blood until this permanent covenant went into place with Jesus, God's only begotten Son. It's not something that we can randomly abandon, folks. It's his love that's unshakable because it's based on his oath. Praise God. God promised us. You know, there's a lot of people that break promises. A lot of promises don't mean nothing for people to break. But I want to tell you, God will never break a promise. Whatever he's promised you with, it will never be broken. And that covenant is in his blood, the blood-stained book. This book of his. I like this. One evangelist spoke to some Christians in the military at one time, and during this message, he displayed his own copy of a White Pacific Fleet New Testament. And they are rare and very valuable, I understand. Following the meeting, a member of the audience showed him another White Pacific Fleet New Testament, one given to his son prior to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, one stained with blood. The man said, "Sir, this little book is very precious, all the more because it's stained with the blood of my son." The man said, "Sir, this little book is very precious." This is what he's saying. "Because this little book is stained with the blood of my son." But God feels the same way about his book, the Bible, and about its new covenant God established through the blood of his son. He loved it too. And he still loves it. And he wants us to live by it, go by it. And the pages are stained with the sin, with the blood, rather, of his son. And God will never let that blood be in vain. Never will he ever let his blood be in vain, folks. So I want to thank God, hey, our salvation can never change. See, when God seals it, it is sealed. Oh, you can overrun, you can trample the blood of Jesus under your feet, you can pretend to be something you're not, but I want to tell you something right now. God's promise is the same. It is yea and amen. It will never change. What a great God we serve, folks. I want to tell you, it's wonderful and mighty. God's mother-like tenderness. Secondly, the Hebrew word Rakahem, really is the way it's pronounced, it relates to the Hebrew word meaning stork or womb, suggesting a mother's love and faithfulness. Just as a mother has a tender feeling for her children she bore, so does Jesus have that motherly love toward us. He's feeling. David expressed this when he said, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." He has pity on us, folks. He looks down sometimes and sees really how helpless we are and how childish we are and how we need to mature and how we need to grow up. But he looks down and he has pity on us. If he didn't have pity on us, we'd be in trouble. But God pities us. This is what David is talking about. Hey, God looks down and he pities us. My goodness. Just like a real mother. Could we ever turn away from that love for their children? Could a true, real mother turn away from the love of her child? Neither can God turn away from his love toward you. I read an article this week, was so sad, it touched my heart. This teenage girl got pregnant, and her parents knew that she was gaining weight. So she had her baby, and rather than her adopting it or giving it to somebody or something, she was afraid of her parents, afraid of what they might say or do. So she took its life, buried it in the backyard. I want to tell you something, folks. It's amazing to me that's not a real mother. She knew when she was having a relationship with a boy or a man that she was could possibly become pregnant with a child. But a lot of people think, well, you know, hey, I can have a relationship for years and never get pregnant. You may and you may not. Some people get pregnant the first relationship they have. What do you think about that? But it's God that looks down and has mercy. So a real mother loves her children and they would not turn away from them. So when you think about this, God not only feels mother-like love for us, he also has sworn that his love will never fail toward us. Here's what I want to tell you something, folks. Hey, every single day you open your eyes, God has a brand new day of mercy for us. And this is why that if you'll start your day out talking to God, thanking God, I want to tell you, he's merciful. He keeps us when we forget about him, it seems. He looks down on us with mercy when we get so busy that we don't even think about him. We just jump up and have to head out to work real fast. Maybe we're trying to beat the time clock, trying to get there on time. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you're having to beat the time, the clock and trying to get there and rushing all you can, you better do some praying. The devil would like to zap you out before you get to work. Why? Because that's a time that your mind is really not on the Lord. Your mind is on trying to beat the clock rather than what God is having mercy on you. Anytime you pull out from your drive of a morning, heading to work, heading to your job, or if you're just heading downtown to get groceries or whatever it might be, it's by God's mercy that we make it back home. Can you say amen? We have people on the highways anymore that you meet. They're either texting or talking on the phone, or they're stoned out of their mind a lot of times. Sure, there's a lot of wonderful and great Christians out there, and they're praying for one another just like we need to pray for one another. But I'm telling you, folks, we're living in a time today you never know who you're facing, whether they really are in their right mind or not. Whether they're seeing you clearly or they're seeing double. They may think they're missing you and hit you straight head on. These things are taking place, and it's amazing to me what times we're living in, because, folks, we know it's perilous or dangerous times, and we need to be ready to make heaven our home when we wake up of a morning. If we're not ready, if we feel like that we've done something we shouldn't, it's time to say, hey, God, it's me again. I messed up. Well, do you think God will look down on you and forgive you? Just as sure as I'm standing here, if you ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. That's a good part about it. Why are God's mercies renewed every morning? Why are they renewed? Think about this. We need fresh proof of God's love. Every morning when the sun comes up, God wants us to have a fresh proof of his unchanging love and compassion. We wake up to a new beginning. Yesterday's troubles and the dark night is over. Now, we're facing a brand new day. So we see the beautiful sunshine or the rain showers falling on grateful plants or crops that need it. Then the birds are singing. They're preparing their nest. And then there's a little squirrel scrambling, looking for a nut somewhere to put away for the winter or to have their lunch. And these are some of God's gifts to us. God gives us some wonderful and mighty things. You see, God promised that whatever need we have for the day, here's the thing about it. The Bible says God will supply our needs for all of our lives. That's what he says. No, he says he would supply our need. And I want you to notice something. God promised that whatever needs we have for the day, when we wake up, whatever need we have for that day, God will meet these needs, like the feeding of the birds or clothing of the flowers. God will meet our need. But you know the thing about it, we as human beings, we want to panic sometimes. Oh, what am I going to do? Call your neighbors, call your family. What are we going to do? You know, before you'd go through all of that hassle, before you get all beside yourself, Why don't you just say, hey, God, I read where you're going to supply my need. Now, I have this need today, God, and you know I have it. I don't really understand or know exactly how it's going to come about, but you've already promised you'd meet that need, and Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to do it. The good part about God, he will not let us down. He's wonderful, is he not? So we have new challenges today, every day when we wake up. So what are we going to face? What are we going to face when we wake up? Not the same things that you faced yesterday, more than likely. And nor either you face tomorrow after that. Each day has its own trials and difficulties. When you wake up in the morning, there may be new trials, new temptations, new things, because the devil has a bag full of tricks, believe me. He likes to trick God's people. And if we stay prayed up and we talk to God, and God will help us and he'll take care of us, and we won't get tricked into doing something that's not so smart, right? I started to say dumb, but I won't call you dumb, amen? Just not so smart, so I think it means about the same. Our Father knows that, so he gives us new and fresh mercies and compassion that are just what we need each day. Isn't that amazing? He knows exactly what we need each day. Now, when we wake up of a morning, we don't know what we're going to need that day. We know we're going to need food and clothing and all this, but God's already prepared all these things. But we don't know what we're going to need. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know who we're going to come in contact with. Did you ever start to go down to the grocery store and think, hey, I'll just run in and grab a loaf of bread and maybe a pound of bologna or whatever, and I'll just hurry right back out, and I'll be back out just in a few minutes. That's the very time. A lot of times you're going to run into some people and say, hey, Brother Gordon, Sister Gordon, we need prayer. You got a minute? Well, you know what? You have to take a minute, whether you think you've got one or not, because all the time belongs to God anyway. So sometimes we can wait on whatever it is. It's waiting that we think that we're in such a hurry about to get out of that store. I like to get out because the longer I stay in there, the more the buggy gets filled up and the more it costs. But when I go by myself, the buggy sometimes is just almost empty when I get out. The only problem I have is sometimes I forget my billfold. The other day I went to Save-A-Lot to get some groceries and got all my groceries and got up there and felt for my billfold and I left it home. I take my billfold out when I'm mowing because I broke two credit cards already this year and they're going to get tired of replacing the same credit card over and over, so I'm trying to be a little bit more careful, so I just take it out. Then Annette was up to the house the other day and we were doing something with some garden stuff or whatever and fixing some green beans or something. And I said, hey, how would y'all like to have some chicken? I'll run over Priceless and get some fried chicken. Hey, that'd be great. We all agreed. I jumped into the truck and took off. Hey, I got over there and got my chicken, got up there in line. No billfold. I thought, Lord, have mercy. So I had to call back home and Annette run my billfold over. So sometimes, folks, we just plain forget, right? But I'm trying to think next time to not forget my billfold. But if I do, I'd say somebody will have to bring it to me. They won't let you take the groceries out of the store unless you pay for them. They wouldn't let me have my fried chicken until I got some money to pay for it. Do you blame them? I don't blame them. If I was still in the store business, I wouldn't either. Because some people eat up the fried chicken, they wouldn't even bring the bones back. They'd forget all about it. Not that they need the bones, but this is the way it is. But God is faithful. He helps us. He blesses us. And he takes care of us. So every morning brings new temptations and sin. We can scarcely get our eyes open sometimes. There be wrong thoughts a run across our mind. So we constantly have need of a new pardon or forgiveness. But God promises that He will, with the temptation, make a way of our escape. So God's new grace and mercy will mean where sin abounds, His grace much more abounds. Can you say amen? I'm telling you what, folks, if God didn't help us and forgive us, we'd be a mess, would we not? Amen. We'd be a lost bunch of people. We'd be in trouble. But thank God He cares enough for us that He takes good care of us. He watches over us in all of this. So each day brings new duties also. Think about this. Which cannot be performed in the natural before that day begins. Wouldn't it be good if you could just do enough in one day, you wouldn't have to do anything the next on your job? Go into Carhartt's, for instance, and work hard enough that you could do enough for 2 days and not have to go in one day and they'd pay you the same. Well, it don't work that way, does it? It don't work that way with us either because, hey, God knows exactly what we need to do for that particular day. That's why God is God and we're not. So every day brings something. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then another place talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Every new day, we start out afresh and anew. Isn't that amazing? And God is going to take care of us, folks, regardless. But why do we want to worry about tomorrow when tomorrow has not come yet? People worry themselves sick over what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, I don't know. The devil's going to get me tomorrow. I made it today to out of skin of my teeth, but tomorrow the devil's liable to get me. Do you think God's going to let the devil get you? Absolutely not. God is in control. He's the boss. One guy said he's the big boss in the sky. Well, I want to tell you something. He's more than a boss. He's our Father. And He loves us and He cares for us and He's going to take care of us. He is not going to allow the devil to destroy us unless we allow it ourselves. We just need to step up and be true to God. Say, hey, God, I can't handle this thing here now. You're going to have to give me some help. I'll tell you, God's good to us. He'll send angels to protect you and watch over you and keep you safe. We're serving a big God. I want to tell you something right now, folks. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over our houses and our cars and our jobs and all our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and whoever else, and even our neighbors. We need to plead the blood of Jesus. Because I want to tell you, there's some thieves out there. The devil is a thief. He's a thief out there. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy and all this. And he's trying to sneak in when you're not looking and everything else. But I want to tell you, God has angels encamped round about them that fear the Lord. Angels are encamped round. Ooh, I feel the Lord in this. There's angels encamped round about this church right this morning. Well, Brother Gordon, I don't see them. You don't have to see them. They're there. You can take my word for it, or you can say, he's off his rockers. Well, I want to tell you, there's angels around our home when we plead the blood of Jesus and ask God to protect us and our homes and our automobiles and everything else. Don't leave the gate open. Don't leave the door open. Lock your doors of a night. Right? Lock the devil out. He may have to make a terrible noise trying to kick the door in and break in, but he might get up there and there'll be one of God's angels stepped out and say, what are you doing here? And you know what's going to happen? He's going to run. He's going to get away. He's going to get out of there as quick as he can. Why? Because, hey, he don't want nothing to do with the guardian angels. He don't want nothing to do because he is a thief. He's sneaky. He's sly. That's why he's compared with a snake. He's slimy. He's slick. But the good part about God, God is out to help us. Every single morning, remember this. Hey, we're here today. We don't know whether we'll even see tomorrow or not. But if we do, God's mercies is going to be there for tomorrow. He's going to supply everything that we need. He's going to take good care of us. So why in the world would anybody want to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? Don't be worrying about tomorrow. Hey, tomorrow hasn't come. Start believing God, trusting God, knowing that His mercies will be right there for you. Isn't He a good God? How in the world can anybody not want to serve God? He is great. Come to music, please. He is great, is He not? What a great God. Our duties, as I said, it brings new duties. And then, great is your faithfulness. The foundation of God's faithfulness is, hey, we can rely on Him regardless. When the storm of life are blowing around us, we can know that God will be there in all of His power as a solid rock. He's our anchor. He's the one that holds us up. He's the one that's not going to let us down. He's the one that we should believe in and trust in, because, folks, I've got news for you. He is faithful in all of His promises. He is faithful. He'll never let you down. He'll take care of you. Let's stand, would you please, as they get a song ready? Philippians 4:19 says, closing this, but my God, woo, my God, notice this, my Father, what's He do? Shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I give unto you my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hands. He'll never fail us, folks. His mercy is brand new every morning. We start all over again. A lot of times we work and we get real tired. We go to bed of a night and we feel like, hey, I either did or didn't accomplish all that I wanted to get accomplished. But then there will always be another day. If not, you don't need it anyway, is what my dad always taught me. But what about God's mercy? It's wonderful. Let me talk to you just a second before they sing. Do you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever really give your heart totally to God? Have you ever asked God just to forgive you of all your sins and wipe your slate clean and to come in your heart? Most of us have, but there might be somebody here that hasn't. And if you haven't, I want to tell you that's the best choice you'll ever make in your entire life. And I grant you, every person in here could say amen to that, that's a Christian. That's the best choice you'll ever make. And if you haven't made that choice, it is so easy to surrender your life to the Lord. People want to make it hard. I've got to change this. I've got to do that. I've got to do something else. No, you don't have to do anything but ask God to forgive you of your sins. Period. And He'll do it. And He'll do it right this morning. If you don't know Him as Savior, it'd be a good time to come. And if you do know Him, it'd be a good time to come and pray for those that don't. We have family members a lot of times that are they're not under the ark of safety, and we need to hold them up to the Lord. Pray for them real hard that they will understand and pray. The altar's open. Will you come this morning? As they play and sing, will you come?